All right. I want to explain something to you. I am an experienced talk show host. This is not an easy job. This is actually kind of dangerous. I have to sit in a chair for over an hour. Do you know how bad that is for somebody's back and their posture and their general skeletal makeup? It's not good. Also, I could frequently get a cold and get laryngitis, in which case I would not be able to do my job and I would be on disability because I use my voice to make my living. Also, I could eat a piece of chicken and it could get stuck in my throat temporarily until I take a gigantic swig of water to wash it down. I don't think you realize all the pitfalls that can occur when you use your voice as a living. So this is just for you kids. Don't try this at home. This, what I do, is very, very dangerous. You be careful now.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Be careful. You be very careful.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Be careful. I'm only saying that because...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. You know what it is. That's what you're listening to.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Bam, bam, bam. Hi, welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. How are you? Do you ever find yourself singing to yourself? Bah, bah, bah. You're singing along to something and then the music stops, but you keep singing and you realize, oh my God, I can't sing. It's like, it's not that I just can't sing. I'm causing injury to people. It's that bad. I should not be humming to anything. Humming can hurt people badly. You know, it's interesting. I have some friends who talk to themselves. I have some acquaintances that talk to themselves. I really have no friends. It's my trademark. Got to have a trademark. That's mine. I have some acquaintances who actually talk to themselves. And it's a little bit freaky to the point where I get very uncomfortable around them. They'll actually talk to themselves out loud. And I think that's the first signs of going apeshit crazy. You're not supposed to talk to yourself unless you're confined in some type of an institution where you've been pressed to the point of insanity. Otherwise, kind of normal people aren't supposed to do that. By the way, smartphones, the devices you hold up to your head, they have become an excuse for people talking to themselves. Because if you hear somebody walking down the street talking to themselves, your first assumption is, well, they're on the phone. Because you don't know. But they could actually be talking to themselves and could be absolutely bonkers nuts. You don't know anymore. Oh, by the way, I found a new app on my smartphone device. Did you know there's a little icon that usually pops up on the home screen? It's a little icon, and it's the like the receiver of a telephone. And if you press this icon, you can actually, listen to this, I didn't know this, you can actually phone somebody and talk to them and have a verbal conversation immediately. Did you know that? Yes. It's called the phone. And you can actually do this on your device. Yeah. No, you don't have to type out words and things in order to communicate to somebody. Or you don't have to use the email system. You can actually, on that moment, that exact moment, you can actually talk to somebody if they're there. And it's amazing. They can be like in California, you can be in New York, and you can have an immediate phone conversation just by you push that little icon with the phone, the telephone receiver on it. I know. I just found this out yesterday. And apparently it's unlimited through my carrier. I can talk to somebody as many times as I want, as long as I want during the entire month, and they don't charge me any extra money. I didn't even know that feature was on the thing. I thought it was just words with friends and games. I didn't know you could actually talk to somebody on this device. What a revelation. Did you know that? Anyway, I have some acquaintances who actually do talk to themselves. I went into a coffee shop once, and this was not my friend. I saw this stranger walk into the coffee shop. And how often does that happen, that a stranger walks into a coffee shop? It was a Dunkin' Donuts, which is amazing in itself. So this guy walks in. He walks up to the counter. And the Dunkin' Donuts employee behind the counter says, "Can I help you?" And the guy actually says out loud, "Let's see, what do I want?" I don't know how to answer that. He was talking to himself. That's the definition. He's out loud asking himself a question that only he can answer. It's crazy. It's like walking into a restaurant. Let's see, do I want the chicken or do I want the steak? Huh. Shut up! Say it to yourself. Nobody can. This is like Facebook Live. Shut up. Why does this bother me so much? Because it's the first signs of dementia. It's got to be. You're not supposed to say it out loud. These are, when you ask yourself questions, it's supposed to be internally, not out loud, so that other people think there's something wrong with you, which apparently there is. Let's see. Should I wait outside or should I wait in the car? Let me see here. I had chicken last night. If I have steak today, that means that I can't have steak tomorrow, but I am going out tomorrow. Maybe I should have the steak tomorrow night.
Who are you talking? Who are you? There's nobody here. Who are you talking to?
Now, either that's an indication of going crazy, or you literally don't have the capacity to figure things out in your mind. You have to verbalize it in order to make a decision. That's also nuts. I don't
get it.
Obviously, this bothers me way too much. Coming up later in the program, we're going to speak to an expert on brain injuries, oddly enough. The incidence of brain injuries has gone up, maybe because we're recognizing it more so. But we will discuss that later in the program. I guarantee you a fascinating time. It's guaranteed. If you don't have a fascinating time during that particular interview that I'm going to do later in the show, then you get all the money back that you didn't pay. That means you get nothing. I give nothing, you get nothing. I like that relationship a lot because I am not beholden to you in any sense. I am not beholden to you. I am not Bill Holden to you. Do you know who Bill Holden is? William Holden? All right, that's a generational divide. William Holden was an actor, a screen actor, which means not computer screen, the big screen, the movies. He was in the movies, and he was really big. Now, if you don't know who he is, then you are under 60 years old. Now, I don't know what movies he was in. I don't think I've ever seen any movies with him in it, unless it was by mistake. But just saying, you can gauge somebody's time frame based on the celebrities that were in the area at the time. I'm telling you, I don't know. If I wasn't here to tell you this stuff, would you be able to carry on throughout your life? I don't think so. I don't think so. You are listening to the show that you're listening to, which happens to be the Ron Van Dam Show.
You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show, and that gets you a podcasting high five. It's like a regular high five, but no one knows that you did it. Or cares. Or anything, really.
All right, that's enough. That's not that funny, really. I notice things that other people don't notice, and that's what drives me nuts. I wish I were stupid so that I wouldn't know what the hell's going on at any given point in my life. What a luxury that must be to actually look around a room and go, I don't care, I don't know. That must be so fantastic. I take my hat off to you. Actually, my pants is what I take off to you. I am overly observant. I see things, well, it's not that I see things that aren't there, although that is kind of true. I even project what could be, even though it's not there at the time. I do that. That's called an overactive mind. And with that usually comes an overactive bladder. Fortunately, I don't have that problem just yet. Maybe later on, but not just yet. But I do have an overactive mind. And I guess that's why I can sit here for like 45 minutes every weekday and just talk about mindless stuff. I don't believe you can do it, but I believe I can. This is exactly what the problem is. I got to stay on subject. I got to stay on topic. In the course of my day, every day, I meet the phoniest people ever. They are so freaking phony. Whenever I go to a restaurant, I am bombarded by phony people. These are people that are disingenuous on purpose. I'm usually greeted by a host or a hostess when I walk into a restaurant, and they say, "Hi, how are you today?" I know for a fact they don't care how I am. They are being friendly on purpose so that I can have a positive experience in their establishment. They don't give two you-know-whats about how I am. They don't know me. You don't know me. All right, that's mildly phony. Then you sit down and the server comes over, the waiter or the waitress. I don't know if that's sexist. They're both servers. I guess is the way you're supposed to say it. One has a penis, one has a vagina. Otherwise, they both take your order and serve you the food. Okay, fine. I get it. Usually, the female has longer hair than the male and some boobs. Those are the distinctions, most of them physical. Although the man's voice would be deeper usually than the woman's, unless the woman has been smoking two packs of cigarettes for most of her life, then her voice will be deeper and more gravelly. The server comes over to me and says, welcome there. Would you like to place your order? And yes, I'll have the tuna fish. And the server inevitably says, that's an excellent choice. I have the tuna fish usually when I come in here, and it's wonderful. No, you don't. You don't have the tuna fish every time you come in. You don't eat here, and you know it. You know you don't eat here because the food basically sucks. You've been in the kitchen to see what they do with the tuna fish. Like it falls on the floor, and it's like the 3-hour rule. If someone picks it up in 3 hours, it's edible. You don't eat here. You know you don't eat here. They are so nice, and especially when you go to a cocktail lounge, you sit at the bar, and the bartender will come over and say, "How are you today?" And already we're lying. You don't care how I am. And then they start a conversation, and they seem to be really interested in you, and you realize, I'm being fluffed up here. I'm being fluffed up. I'm being pampered for perhaps a large tip that I can put forth unto them. It's all phony stuff. And I'm not being cynical. It is phony. When someone calls you on, you call customer service. I call AT&T as my cell phone provider, or I'll call Comcast. They are the people that rob me of all my cash every month. They, especially Comcast, they are so pleasant. "Hi, how may I help you? How's your day going so far?" "How's my day going so far? What? I don't want to start a relationship. I just want to talk about my cable bill." What do you mean? "How is your day so?" What you? I don't care how your day is either. "How's the weather up there in Boston? I understand it's really cold. How are you doing with the winter?" You don't care how I'm doing. What? Are you sitting at home going, "I wonder if somebody calls from Boston how they're doing. God, I'm concerned. God, I'm concerned about them." You're killing time while you look up my account is what you're doing. Be honest with me. And if one more customer service person says to me on the phone, if one more says, "I'm sorry, my system seems to be a little slow today." Okay, like all of you have slow systems. What am I paying your company for? Can you not find a computer system that's a bit more efficient? Comcast will do this to me. I'll ask Comcast a question and they'll say, "Can you hold on a second? Our system is a little sluggish today." Oh, okay. Well, apparently so is your service. You're supposed to provide internet services to people's homes. That's one of your product. And yet your service is slow. Your internet is slow today. Your computer is slow. What? You provide that service. That's the service that you provide. And you're admitting to me that yours is a little slow. What's mine supposed to be? I find it laughable. I am lied to all day by everybody. Everybody who gives me a smile and gets involved in my personal life and they don't even know me. You're chatting me up. You're chatting me up. You're fattening the goose. You're stuffing my bird. I know it. I should just be honest about it. "How are you today, Mr. Van Damme? Are you having a nice day?" What do you care? "Are you having a nice day?" I don't care if you are.
"Oh, Mr. Van Damme, you're a horrible person."
Yes, I am. Now we're having a relationship. I was saying earlier, there's a big piece of news that is amazing to me. Oprah was doing an interview. You know Oprah? Mm-hmm. She was doing an interview and somehow came up that Oprah is considering running for president in the year 2020, which would be the next presidential election. Actually, it would actually be 2018, but I guess she doesn't want to push it. 2020, she may be considering running for president. And the reasoning is, she said, "I thought previously that to be president, you had to have some experience in running a country, but I guess you don't." So now she says that's opened the field for anybody to be president. Now, supposedly, the way that our Constitution and our government was put together is that the common person is indeed supposed to have these types of positions because that's the way it's supposed to work. It's not supposed to be politically motivated and special interest and that kind of thing. It's supposed to be the common man that steps into the position. This particular president is not a common man at all. So Oprah, you're kind of wrong. But you're right in the sense that anybody indeed can become president and not necessarily at all know what they're doing. Yes, that's true. Now, Oprah has as much money as our current president does. Perhaps she has even more. She is in show business, so she knows what it's like to be in the forefront of something as far as popularity is concerned. So maybe she can be president, maybe by at that point, maybe in the next election, we'll vote for anybody else anyway. I think a gerbil could be president at this point, even without a string attached. I think that could even work. I will maintain my political position today, ladies and gentlemen, because I can. I'm not arguing with you. I'm simply expressing myself. I continue to believe that by August of this year, 2017, I believe that's what year this is. I don't know. I don't have a calendar nearby. I predict that by then, the president of the United States, that Trump guy, I call him the orange douchebag, and I know that that is disrespectful, but I do it on purpose because that man is disrespectful of a lot of people. So I think we can call names back and forth. That's the precedent that the president has set up. So the orange douchebag will actually be under some type of indictment or some type of probe. They will find that he shall be impeached. And the vice president, Mike Pence, whatever, he will become the president. I can deal with him because as much as I totally disagree with basically all of his policies, at least I think the man has the inkling of being a human being, unlike the present person in the White House. So I would prefer the vice president to be in that role as opposed to the orange douchebag that is in there now. I make those comments purely based on that man's personality. I disagree with many of his policies. I might agree with a few of them, but he is a despicable human being. That's what I'm focusing on right now. And I don't believe that any child being brought up in this country could be, it's almost like telling the child, there is no Santa Claus. This is the shit that you actually get. Wow. What a rude awakening that is. We all knew the signs. We voted for him anyway. We all knew the signs.
Shot on sight. So I jumped on the fence and I yelled at the house, "Hey, what gives you the right to put up a fence to keep me out or to keep Mother Nature in? If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner."
Sign, sign, everywhere a sign,
blocking out the scenery,
breaking my mind.
Do this, don't do that, can't you read?
We're going to be speaking about brain injuries with our guest coming up after these commercial words. Speaking of brain injuries, have you been to Headshots?
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But these days, you'll find me knocking out customers with the food at my restaurant, Betty's Cupcakes.
And that would be Headshots.
Headshots. Take it from me, every meal we serve at Weedy World.
Headshots.
At Headshots is a world champion. Whether you're a lightweight, middleweight, or a heavyweight like me, bring your appetite to Charlie's Bait and Smokes.
Bobby, let's try Headshots.
Two Headshots. Try our new spicy chicken piazzole or some classic meatballs. And do you know where you'll find the juiciest, tenderest steaks in town? That's right. The Pet Depot.
Headshots again.
Headshots. We serve up a 28-ounce porterhouse that'll hit you so hard, you won't remember eating it. So treat yourself to a night out soon at Wo Hop Fung's Authentic Chinese Laundry.
Wow, so wrong on so many levels. Headshots.
That's right, headshots. Every Thursday night, get 10% off when you mention my name, Bobby Marone. I'll see you soon at Mistress Elena's Domination Dungeon.
That explains so much, but headshots.
Headshots. You know, maybe we ought to start writing these things down.
That would be what the paper in your hand is for, Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
Alejandro Villanueva joins us. He's Pittsburgh Steelers offensive tackle, former Army Ranger and West Point graduate. And Colonel Jeffrey Grammer joins us, National Director of the Defense and Veterans Brain Injury Center. We're talking about brain injuries. I understand March is Brain Injury Awareness Month?
Correct. Thank you for having us.
Mm-hmm.
March is actually the month that we focus our efforts on communicating directly to service members, veterans, and their family. We're observing Brain Injury Awareness Month with our Think Ahead campaign, and we're using the hashtag Think Ahead. We want people to think ahead about preventing brain injury, the signs and symptoms of brain injury, and getting help. We want people to use personal protective equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to identify if they or a loved one have suffered a brain injury. And finally, we want people to get help if they think they have incurred a brain injury, because the earlier you get care, the better your outcome.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Alejandro, as you know, football at one time, they didn't wear helmets, they wore leather hats.
Yeah, no, I've obviously seen the pictures. I played rugby before I played football,
yeah.
so it's a similar idea.
Yeah. Are helmets worn in rugby now? I don't think so.
No, not at all. But
yeah,
you know,
that's not good.
You feel naked, you know, when you play.
Yeah, I suppose so. Okay, so how can we prevent now brain injuries? You don't have to be playing intense sports, although you really have to be careful when you do. But we can get brain injuries just walking around too. Is that true?
Correct. Most brain injuries are actually either from falls or motor vehicle accidents.
Ah.
So that's where, you know, the Be Safe component of the Think Ahead campaign comes into play.
Yeah.
It's not just wearing personal protective equipment if you're engaging in sports, but it's also doing safe, smart things. You know, avoiding alcohol in situations where you're either operating heavy machinery or going to operate a motor vehicle,
mm-hmm.
or avoiding kind of high-risk impulsive behaviors, you know, that could lead to injury, you know, moving equipment, for example, that
yeah.
is too heavy for you to do alone.
Okay, so this is an awareness thing. In other words, we're all familiar with brain injuries and diseases and things like that, but it kind of reminds us to think a little bit before we do things and to be more cognizant of these possibilities. Has the incidence of brain injury gone up?
That's a complicated question, because our detection has increased. We've, you know, particularly within the Department of Defense, we've changed to what we call incident-based screening.
Mm-hmm.
So if you undergo an event where there's even a possibility you incurred or suffered a brain injury, you're going to get pulled aside and screened. And, you know, the NFL has actually done something very similar. So we're detecting brain injury more, and that will inflate the numbers, but that's actually a phenomenon of a good thing, not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. And in rugby and football, Alejandro, there is certainly now more of an awareness of concussions and brain injuries. It might have even been swept under the rug for a while, but now it's quite evident.
I can only speak for the Steelers organization, and I'm sure that...
Yeah, I'm
that
sure the, others, yeah.
I'm sure that the right. Patriots are just as good, you know, following mm-hmm. the protocol, but I think it's something that has been taken seriously, not only by NFL owners, but also the NFLPA,
mm-hmm.
and there's been a very good network of support, and there's an incentive to be proactive on this issue in and around the NFL, and players are talking about this issue, and so You no longer feel ashamed if you can't play a game because you're in the protocol. Yeah. You no longer feel the need to rush to the field. Right now, the person who's got the mic, so to speak, in an NFL building is the doctor, and the person who clears you. And so that's a very defined hierarchy and authority that everybody respects and understands.
Yeah. And I know your experience actually goes into the military as well. You were deployed to Afghanistan 3 times, I understand, with all kinds of awards and medals for your service. Thank you, by the way. And there's another example of trauma to the body again.
Absolutely. And that's somewhat of a more complicated thing to deal with. But right. Just like Colonel Grammer said, most of the head injuries don't happen while deployed. I mean, it can happen during training. It can happen, obviously, operating motor vehicles. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to convey to the public today, that, awareness on brain injury is not just something that you would picture in a movie of getting hit while playing football or getting blown up in Afghanistan. It can happen in a number of instances. And so, there's no doubt that obviously, explosions, ID, sometimes, in the military you get too close when you're trying to blow up an ID, and and all of a sudden you got a headache.
Yeah,
and you got to go through the Army protocol, and so I think everybody's taking the right steps, not only in the military but in the NFL, and this Think Awareness campaign is going to be even more beneficial to bring out to the public the advances in the research that the military and the NFL have done over the past few years to obviously educate and get people healthier and back to work.
Yeah. And Colonel Grammer, I know that you went into the medical end of things and been doing research accordingly as well.
Yes, I've been in the military now for 25 years.
Yeah.
Had a variety of positions, including research within brain injury, and now as the director of DBIC. Went to Iraq a couple times, Afghanistan once.
Wow.
But I think to capitalize on what Mr. Villanueva said, I think it's important that people realize that brain injury doesn't just happen to soldiers and NFL players. Mm-hmm. It happens to all people. So please make sure you recognize the signs and get help.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question that's a little bit off topic here. A lot of parents have kids, which would make them parents to begin with, and they get on their bicycles, and there are a lot of kids that wear little bicycle helmets and a lot of kids that don't. Where do you stand on that?
Well, for me as a clinician, I can tell you that, it is important that people wear personal protective equipment.
Uh-huh.
Bikes are a great example. Bike helmets absolutely work. They're cheap. They're easy to wear. And so, overcoming some perceived social stigma or inconvenience of wearing a helmet is not worth the catastrophe that can occur as a result of a brain injury. So I would highly encourage parents to have their kids, whenever they're playing, whenever they're doing sports or just recreational activities, to please be safe.
Yeah. I remember how long it took to get the American public acclimated to seat belts. They fought that like crazy for years. Now we don't think twice about it, and the cars actually tell us quite loudly that we don't have it fastened. That's a good example of how we've melded into more of a safety-conscious kind of situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Guys, thank you for your time today. Where can we get more information about this?
So I would encourage people to go to the Defense and Veteran Brain Injury website. It's at dvbic.decoe.mil. That's dvbic.decoe.mil. And also, just look out for our hashtag campaign, Think Ahead.
Excellent. Thank you again for your service and your time today.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron.
Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots. Thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month for Pasta La Musa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta La Nusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paducah.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajour.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Klein.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Cholula.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus. Just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
You're listening to The Big Show by Sean Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Welcome back to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you so much for hanging on by your bare knuckles. Hey! Welcome back to the program. Are you into feng shui? It's very tasty with soy sauce. Now, feng shui is the mental art of setting up your room to be conducive to your best energy. And that way, it's supposed to bring you luck, it's supposed to bring you mental efficiency, discipline, all that crap. And it depends on how you set up things in the room. I'm assuming that if you have a desk in an office and it's facing a deer head mounted on the wall, then that's probably not good feng shui, staring at a dead animal most of the day. You're always supposed to face the entrance into the room. Never have your back to the entrance of the room, because that way someone can come in behind you and strangle you. Well, I don't know if that example is accurate, but it's probably not a good idea for that reason alone. But the feng shuiists, and I made that up, say that you're supposed to face the entrance of the room, or at least have it in eyesight. The feng shui people also say that fake plants pretty much mean a fake life. That's why I am surrounded constantly by fake plants. Apparently that's true then. Now, apparently if you have living, breathing, fresh plants and fresh living things around you, then that's a very spiritual, exhilarating situation. Uh-huh. Clutter is horrible. Declutterize not. Get the clut out of here. Simplistic visions from your vantage point in your room are actually more cleansing than not. I suppose that your bedroom would be a wonderful example of feng shui. In other words, your bed should be facing very peaceful, very invigoratingly relaxing, that makes no sense, types of visions. In other words, you don't want a picture of your ugly spouse on the wall. You don't want to look at that all day. It's bad enough you got that in real life. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. There should be calming things around you. As I've told you so many times before, I've gotten into meditation. I meditate all day. From the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep, I am in an altered state. I am. I have no idea where I am or what I'm doing. That's not true. I do know where I am and what I'm doing. It's that I prefer to meditate to take me off of this planet every once in a while. And you can actually do that. You close your eyes. You cut off all the extraneous noises and all the extraneous stimulation. And you look within. And I call it falling asleep. But apparently some people call that meditation. I really don't know the difference, to be honest with you. I'm not into that, man. I'm not into it, man. Now, I do try to meditate, but I think I do meditate for about 15 to 20 seconds every day, and that is very cleansing for me. I don't know. You know, it's a fun game. When you're really tired, if you have the ability to lay down and take a nap in the middle of the day, this is so much fun. You'll enjoy this. You'll actually fall asleep if you're tired enough, napping around like 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that, and fall asleep, sleep for about an hour and a half, and then you wake up, but make sure that there's no clock nearby, and you wake up and you have absolutely no idea where you are, what time it is, what the hell's going on. You don't, it's such a fantastic confusion thing. It's like a game. Okay, I'm waking up. What century am I in? Where are my feet? You have no idea. You don't know if you slept into the next day, whether it's nighttime, maybe it's daytime. You don't know what it is. You don't know if it's time for breakfast, for dinner. You don't know who that strange woman is lying next to you who took a nap with you. It's fun. It's a good time. I'm out of time for today, speaking of time. I hope that you join me tomorrow. Until then, I wish you and all of yours peace. Peace amongst you, amongst men, and amongst women too, and amongst the pets. Let's see. What do I want for dinner tonight? Chicken? Should I be talking to myself about what I want for dinner? Or is that considered a mental problem? Huh. Let me think about that. I think I'll have the chicken. Maybe I'll have the steak.
Whatever.